Well, good morning. Let's go ahead and open up our Bibles to Romans chapter 8. We're looking at verses 23 through 25 today. So grab your Bible, your tablet, however that works for you. Romans chapter 8, looking at verses 23 through 25. Go ahead and grab your outline. Good to follow along. Have your outline. Just walks us through where we're going, where we've been. Helps us connect God's truths, God's thoughts, and all of that. And keeps me from straying all over the place also. I want to begin by setting our minds on where we are at in our study of God's Word. I want to do that. I want to set our minds, kind of just place us where we're in this section of Scripture. What we're looking at in this section of Scripture, I've entitled "The Life of the, Life in the Spirit." Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through 30 is "I work in the power of the Holy Spirit." And the focus of verses 17 through 30, which we are in now, we're kind of right in the middle of it, affirm to us that all believers are headed for eternal glory. For the Holy Spirit has guaranteed our glory by His work, His power. It's guaranteed. So all believers are on the road to glory, if you want to look at it that way. Verse 29 of Romans chapter 8 says that God has predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son. We are becoming like Jesus in all attitude, action, and thought. One day we will be completed in that. Verse 30 says, so those whom God predestined, those whom He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, to be like Christ, He said He also called, He said He also justified, and He also glorified. So guaranteed is our glory, so guaranteed is our eternal glory, that God wrote it down like it was already done. And verses from 17 to 30 in our section that we're studying, the truths about our glory are unfolding. That's what we're doing. We're kind of just walking through them and unfolding them with some headings and some main points and that kind of thing. But as we kind of just go through this, it's just unfolding right before us the eternal glory that awaits. What we first saw a few weeks ago is the incomparable gains of glory in verse 17 through 18. We have become children of God. We are adopted into the family of God. We are heirs, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ. And all that belongs to God and is granted to Christ becomes ours as well in glory. We looked at all of that. Colossians 1:2 says, the Father has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints. Titus 3:7 says, by His grace, we are made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And Hebrews 1:2 said, you remember that God made Christ heir of all things. So God's final end game for us is to share in the glory of Christ, share in the Lord's inheritance as fellow heirs with Christ. It's all true. It all awaits. It's protected and guarded by God. It's our living hope, as 1 Peter 1:3 through 5 says. It's magnificent, isn't it? I mean, it's almost, we have to take that by faith because none of us has seen it. We're going to get into that. But it's a monumental truth that we're looking at, that when Christ is revealed, we will be revealed with Him in glory, fellow heirs with Him. We talked about the path that was going to be on. The preparation for that glory was going to be a suffering path. It was going to be dealing with our own lives and dealing with our flesh and denying ourselves and then whatever we share in the sufferings of Christ. But whatever this life brings, whatever it might be, it's not comparable, or it's incomparable to the glory that is we're headed to. The glory that we're guaranteed. And so this is the truth that we have. And then we came to verses 19 through 27, which we began to look at some of that. But in verses 19 through 27, on your outline there, it's the inexpressible groans for glory. And our first observation that we looked at when we got into this, creation groans for glory. You guys remember that? 2 weeks ago, that message, verses 19 through 22, the non-rational creation, sun, moon, stars, planets, animals, plants, trees, hills, flowers, streams, groan for the glory of God to come. Creation longs for that glory. Remember, we looked at that. Creation waits eagerly for that glory. You remember that. It stands on its tiptoes, right? Looking up over, seeing what God is going to bring. Creation can't make it come. But it knows that it's coming, and God's going to do that. And they patiently waits for any moment for God to bring it about. And we dug into all of that. The glory that creation anticipates, it says in verse 19, comes with the revealing of the sons of God. It comes with the manifestation of God's complete salvation for us. It comes with the unveiling of our full redemption. It comes with our glory being revealed. And the other side of that, creation groans to be set free from its futility, to be set free from its corruption. Creation suffers the pains of childbirth as God, by His divine power, is at work to birth it all. And creation groans in hope, for God will bring eternal glory guaranteed. That's what hope of God is. Creation groans, anticipates in hope, all hope, because God has promised it to come in His Word. And it longs for it and it waits for it, even though it wants out of the corruption that it's in. I don't like the corruption I'm in. How about you? And so we looked at all of that and dug into that. This groaning is an anticipation to two things, to what's coming and an anticipation to what will end. It's both. So today we look at verses 23 through 25, where our second observation is believers groan for glory, somewhat in the same way. We're going to dig into this. So turn your outline over. That was just the introduction. We'll get into our message today. And let's dig into this. Look at the text with me. Be good if I turn there. Romans chapter 8, verses 23, 24, and 25. Three verses here. Believers groan for glory. Paul writes, and not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for the adoption of sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what, or since we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. Because we have this new life in Christ, because we have this new nature that God has given us by the power of the Holy Spirit, because by the divine power, we have a new self, new nature, new desires. God has instilled every believer, it's in every believer, a desire for God's full redemption, a desire for God to complete His work in you. Would you agree? It's in there, right? We battle it with the flesh, but we all know it's there. It's the new life in Christ. God gave it to us, and by the work of the Holy Spirit, it's doing that in our life, a desire for God's complete salvation. I'd like to be complete in my sanctification, wouldn't you? We have a desire for that. I want to be Christ-like in all I do. Are you? I'm not all the time. How about you? So that's in there. There's an anticipation, a groaning of that because of what God has done in our life. Yeah. A desire to live and be Christ-like. We have been given a desire and longing for the glory that awaits. The inner man longs for and desires for all that God has for him. Don't you? Do you long for all that God has for you? You desire it? Yes, we have our flesh. We'll get into that in a minute. But that's what he's getting into. Or we also groan for glory. We groan within ourselves. It's in the very being that God gave you in your new life. Desires all that God wants for it. And the text says, it says it right in the text, and we're just going to kind of walk through some of the terms like we did with the creation groans. It says, we groan within ourselves for it. To groan in the soul. Think of it that way, because I don't want us all going out here groaning with the mouth. But it is really, it's a groaning in the soul, a groaning that anticipates the glories that will come, like we read this morning in 2 Corinthians 5. Did you guys hear that? Let me read that again. 2 Corinthians 5, 2 through 4. I want you to listen to it again. It says this, for indeed in this house we groan, in this flesh of mine. This fleshly thing my new life is incarcerated in. We groan, longing. This is what God's word says. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Verse 3, and as much as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. Somewhat of it, we have it on now. It's our new life in Christ. It's our new nature, new desires, but we're clothed in the flesh. You guys remember all those messages, right? And then he says this in verse 4. For indeed, while we were in this tent, we groaned, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. So we are, in a sense, on our tiptoes, so to speak, waiting and anticipating, longing for our dwelling from heaven, to be clothed in all of God's redemptive glory, complete salvation, complete sanctification. Where this mortal is swallowed up by life, full life, complete salvation, eternal glory. That's what he's talking about. But we also groan, it says, look at what it says in verse 4. We groan being burdened. What are we burdened with? Help me, what are we burdened with? Our sin, there you go. That's exactly what we're burdened with. I don't like to sin. Do you like, well, you know, got to be careful there, right? But I don't want to sin. Do you? Does it burden you that sometimes you have the wrong attitude and sometimes you say the wrong thing and sometimes you maybe look at the wrong thing? Or does it burden you that you have that in your life? Are you wanting God to help you with that and deal with that? And is that a burden to the believers in Christ? What do you guys think? Surely it is, right? And that's so we have this anticipation that God's going to clothe us with what he has planned and purposed for us in glory, complete salvation. But we groan being burdened, unclothed, not all that I should be, not all that I will be. I'm burdened with lust or pride or selfishness. We groan in anticipation of not having to battle the flesh. You remember Romans 7, 14 through 25, right? We went through that in detail for a great purpose because it follows all the way through all of this. And in Romans 7, 14 through following, it says, sometimes I do the very thing that I hate. Is that you? And I groan about that. I find this principle of selfishness and pride and sin in my flesh. You guys know Darth Vader, right? We're always going to remember that. Strapped to my back. Strapped to my new life in Christ that desires to do good. This is what he was talking about. That desires to live righteously, to live Christ-like. This mortal flesh doesn't want to live for the Lord. That's why God says, take up your cross, deny yourself, follow him. Even Paul said that, and he said, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? And we know in the glory that is coming, guaranteed, Jesus will set us free from this fleshly battle, doesn't he? We groan with ourselves, or within ourselves, longing for that glory, anticipating the battle with the flesh will be over. Is that you? Help me, is that you? It's a kind of a daily journey, isn't it? Trying to serve the Lord, and you know what? But being grateful and thankful for all that God has done, the salvation that we sang about, and the redemption and the forgiveness of sin and all that we have. But there's a real reality going on here, right? And that's what the Apostle Paul is getting to when he's talking about the believers groan for the eternal glory that awaits. We groan within ourselves, the text says. And it says this, having the first fruits of the Spirit. What is that? What is having the first fruits of the Spirit? We should be able to understand that. It's the down payment of our eternal salvation, right? Right, Ken? You were sharing that today, right? Shoot, you read half of what I'm going to share today. But it is the down payment of our eternal salvation, the Spirit of God dwelling in us. Ephesians 1:14 says, the Holy Spirit took up residence in our lives, given to us as a pledge of our inheritance, a seal, a guarantee. But it's only the beginning of it. He says this, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession. It's the beginning view of our lives. It's just the beginning view. You guys remember the illustration that we used, the sun peeking up over the mountaintop, just the sun barely rising up and glory shining? You know, it's not this view, this life here, where we get to shine as the sun in the Father's kingdom. It's just peeking up over the hill. That's what it says. We groan within ourselves, waiting for God to bring that up. Romans 8, 2 through 16 describes the first fruits. Ken set them today, set free from the law of sin and death and able to live God's way with a new nature, a new desire and power to have victory over the flesh, confirmed in our spirit that we're children of God, adopted into the family of God. That's just the first fruit. Doesn't that excite you? That's just the beginning. I mean, we just got a taste of what our salvation is. We just got a taste of what God is going to do. And it's incredible, right? It's amazing. Ephesians 5, 8 through 10 says it this way. We now walk as children of light, and the fruit of the light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth. And we are trying to learn how to live and please the Lord. We have the first fruits of that. You know, one day I won't have to try to do that. I will just live in goodness and righteousness and truth. For that battle is going to be over. And so we groan for that. We anticipate that in this life. Galatians 5, 22 through 23 tells us that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control begins to come out in our life by the work and the power of the Holy Spirit as we submit to his leading. But it's only the beginning of it being fulfilled in our life. Think about that with me for a moment. Where God is headed in each of our lives is to grow in all that, right? When we walk by the Spirit, we don't carry out the desires of the flesh. And then love and joy and peace come out. We're just beginning in that. We're just growing in that. To be God's people, God's children, in the eternal life that he has for us, and that just be our very nature. What an incredible thing to think about. We can't even comprehend it. What would the world be like with all of us with our problems or our struggles? We'll just be nice to each other all the time and never have a bad attitude. I mean, so this is what he's pointing this, and there's a point for all of this, you guys. There's a reason why God is putting this out there and telling us this and wants us to know this. It's just the first fruits of the life that awaits. For the conflict in our life is real. We know that. It's a reality. That our lives just peaked over that mountaintop, like I said. One day we'll be bright as the sun in the kingdom of God the Father. So we groan in anticipation. And then he says this, having the first fruits of the Spirit, he says this, and we wait eagerly for the adoption of sons. Well, I thought we were already adopted. Remember, we went through that in Romans 8, 15 through 17, where we have the spirit of adoption and we're adopted into the family of God. What is he talking about there? Yes, we are already adopted into the family of God, but our adoption is not yet complete. You can kind of see it this way. We're still children in the family of God. As a child, if I was adopted into a family and I was 4 years old, right, I really haven't received all the inheritance that was going to be mine, right? It's guaranteed, right? But until I come of age and I can have that and embrace that and it be all that it is, it's not really final, is it? And that's what he's talking about. As much as we experience the grace and mercy and goodness of God and have the new life and new desires and the Spirit of God dwelling in us, and all, it's just a taste of the inheritance that awaits, of what is ours by God's gift to us. And that's what he's talking about. We wait eagerly for it. Again, kind of like this, right? When we will be glorified with Christ, we will take ownership of it all with him and all that is his. So he continues and he says, we groan in anticipation, waiting eagerly for the redemption of the body. Verse 23. Now, there's so much there in the redemption of the body to be said. This statement really kind of opens up so many kinds of things doctrinally, but I just want to cover it a certain way. And just kind of listen to how I want to cover it. Like it said in Romans 7, 24. Let me read that to you. Romans 7, 24 and 25. It says this, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? Thanks be to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, don't you, the battle with your flesh? You know that this is our unredeemed humanity and how much we battle with it. We know how far we need to come. Just like Paul said, wretched man that I am, and who will set me free from this body of death? Who will set me free from this fleshly humanity that's unredeemed, that still battles me from following the Lord? Who's going to set me free? The Lord Jesus Christ. One day in my salvation, a future day coming, we won't get into that today, through my salvation found in Christ, God will set me free from this body and give me a new body. Your soul is already redeemed. Did you know that? You've been given new life. Your soul's been redeemed. The redemption of your body. You're going to get a new body. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about it all. This is true. This is real. This is what we walk in faith in. One day our body will be redeemed, given new life, new body fit for eternal glory. The new body will only desire to honor God, please God, love others by nature. You don't have it yet. We all recognize that. But we groan for what awaits. Therein lies the battle now. Your redeemed body is a heavenly body, imperishable body, raised in glory, according to 1 Corinthians 15. And it's guaranteed to all believers. Listen to what God said in Philippians 3, 20 through 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has. That will happen. Do you guys acknowledge that that will happen in your life? That's where God's headed? We have all that we have here, and we're working through all that we have, but that's where God's headed. And listen to this, and there is a sense and a reality that your soul, your new life in Christ, longs for, waits eagerly for, the body that it belongs to and the place that it belongs at, eternal glory. That's true. That's what he's bringing out here. As believers in Christ, your new life in Christ, your soul, your spirit, who you are, longs for the body that it belongs in and longs for the place to be. Our citizenship is where? So if that's where my home is, that's where my treasure is, that's where my Lord is, that's where my new body is, that's where eternal glory is, my new self longs for that. How about you? And that's what Paul is bringing up. There's a lot here in this life. There's a lot in this temporal life, a lot in this eternal life. And God wants us to embrace it all and live for him in it all. It's not that we look at this here and say, oh, this is just so bad, I can't wait till... It's not that. He wants us to live for him with joy and peace and love and the fruit of the Spirit in our life here to be a testimony for him. But this isn't it, folks. This isn't the outcome, the end game for God. It's way more, right? It's incomparable what the end game is, right? It doesn't mean we push this aside or don't live well here or don't embrace what God has for us here, but we groan anticipating for the glory that awaits. And Paul says in Romans 8:24, let me read it to you. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? Answer that. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. Is that true? It's already yours, right? This is a faith issue. That's what he's talking about. We don't see it, do we? Anybody ever see the new body in the eternal glory? Have you seen it? We don't see it, but we see it with our mind and our heart, don't we? And that's what he's referring to. That's what he's talking to us as believers. We trust it. It's in God's word. We believe what God has said. We have faith in it, but we haven't really seen it, for we look at things that are not seen. We look at things that are not seen, not things that are seen. Right? Like we looked at 2 Corinthians. This is our life. We see it in our mind's eye. The Spirit of God affirms it to us that it's true, and we live this life in the reality of this hope. For in hope we have been saved. Listen, our eternal glory is a kind of veiled by our sinful humanness, isn't it? It's kind of veiled by our humans. In no way the fallen world sees this reality for us. It's hard for us to see it. We only see it in the mind's eye because we see the flesh in all of us. And I'll use that illustration a lot. We see it like it's just peeking over the mountain. So let me illustrate it to you this way. Just to kind of give it to our heart here. Go up to a person. I want you to do this, okay? I want you to go to somebody, you don't know him, introduce yourself. Hi, I'm Ken Rollins. I am a son of God. I'm a citizen of heaven. My treasure is there. My real home is there. In fact, I will live with Jesus Christ there, and my life will be just like his. I'll never sin. In fact, I won't battle with sin at all. I'll live in perfect righteousness. I will have a new body that will live forever. I will rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ one day, and I will inherit all that is his. What do you think they're going to say? Go tell your neighbor. You guys got a neighbor? You know that guy or that gal, that neighbor? Just go up to him and say, hey, my name, this is who I am, and this is who I am. I will rule and reign with Christ one day. I'll have a new body that will never perish. Live in eternal glory. I'm a child of God. I will inherit all that's Christ. There'll be no pain, no sorrow. In fact, I'll never sin again. I'll live a perfect and righteous life, and I'll be with Jesus. Just go tell them. Well, they're going to call the cops, right? The guy is loony, right? Let me ask you something. If I came up to you and say, how's it going? And I said, hey, I'm a child of God. My home is in heaven. I will rule and reign with Jesus Christ. I have a new body that will live forever, never perish. I will live righteously and holy forever. I'll never sin. I'll be like Jesus Christ, as much as humanity can be like Jesus Christ. I'll live in eternal glory with God with a new body and a new heaven and a new earth forever in this wonderful, embracing life. What would you say to me if I said that to you? Amen. Me too, amen, right? That's to impact our lives today, isn't it? Is that to impact our life today? That's what the Apostle Paul is getting to in all of this. It's to impact our life. Look what he said in the final verse there, verse 25. But since we hope for what we have not, do not see. That means it's sure to us. It's guaranteed. This is all going to happen. With perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. What's that word perseverance mean? Because of God's divine work already in our lives, because we have the fruit of the Spirit at work in our life, because we see and know where God is headed for, with our being, our very existence, and we're headed to our complete salvation, full redemption, to be Christ-like in every way. We anticipate the glory to come, anticipate the battle with the flesh to end, have faith and hope as an anchor to our lives, because it's all true. We stay the course, growing in our relationship with the Lord, seeking to be Christ-like, knowing that God has guaranteed it. And with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. When you think of that perseverance, what do you think of? Do you think of torture? This word in the Greek is not like long-suffering. It's not long-suffering. It's not enduring something hard or harsh like torture. This word refers to this. Get this. Listen to what this refers to. The quality of character which does not allow one to surrender to circumstances or succumb to trial. It's like stay the course. Since we have this hope of eternal glory, since that's what it is, whatever this life brings, we're to stay the course. That's what we do. Because it's true, it's our eternal hope, it's a living hope, it's a reality that awaits us with perseverance, with staying the course, and keeping on trusting God and believing in His truth, having steadfast hope, persevering and learning to be Christ-like, we never give up, never give in because of the hope that God has given us. You ever feel like throwing in the towel? Have you thrown in the towel sometimes? This hope is supposed to encourage us and help us to persevere, to have the quality of character that says, Lord, man, this is rough, this is hard, this is whatever it might be, whatever it is, whatever. But Lord, I'm going to continue to seek You and to trust You, and to believe in You, and to know, Lord, I'm just on the journey to the place that You have made for me in eternal glory. That's what we do. We don't give in or give up to anything trying to get us off the journey of sanctification in our road to glory. That's why it's here. It's the character of us to stay the course, and we're empowered by the Holy Spirit to do so. I want to close with this. Turn your Bibles to 1 John 3. 1 John 3, we're going to look at three verses here in conclusion to today. And I wrote it on your outline there. So this anticipation impacts our lives. It does, doesn't it? Come on, you guys, doesn't it? This anticipation impacts our lives. That's why it's all here. That's why God shares this with us. He knows how it impacts our lives. He knows our life. Does the Lord Jesus Christ know your life? Does He know your trials, your temptations, your struggles? Does He know you? Come on, you guys. Does He know you? Well, God wrote down in His Word, empowered by the Holy Spirit, this is what the Holy Spirit has done. He's guaranteed our glory. He put all that down for us to understand because He knows our life. And He wants us with perseverance to be eagerly waiting for it. He wants it to impact the way we live our life today, to be a testimony of Him and to be a light of Him. Look what it says in 1 John 3, 1 through 3. It says this, See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God, and such we are. Are you grabbing the love of God that's been bestowed on us when we've been looking at just what it means that we're children of God? That's a love issue with God, okay? See how great a love, that word there, see how great, is really indescribable in the Greek. It's like 8 different English words. It's like it's unfathomable. You can't even describe it with words. That's what that means, how great the love of God is. When we understand the truth of God's word and what God has planned and prepared for us in eternity, because we're children of God, it says this, for this reason the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. It's a faith issue. We believe what God says we will be. We know that when he appears, the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be like him, because we will see him just like he is. That's where God's going, predestined us to be like Christ as much as humanity can, be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know this. We know eternal glory is ours. We know the struggle, the battle, and all that it is to get there in the sense of our life through now. But we have this hope, right? Look at verse 3. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. That's sanctification. Everyone that has this hope to be Christ-like in full glory seeks to cleanse himself or herself of living any other way than Christ-likeness. Since God is going to get us all the way there, we are to be seeking to live like what we will be there. And I want to close with this. You young people here today, if you are under 19, raise your hand. All right. Lots of you here today. I want to talk to you guys. The rest of you guys can listen. Are you practicing what you're going to become? Are you guys going to become adults, you young people? Some of you that are under 19 think you're adult already, but right, guys, they're not, right? They're still. Are you going to become adults? Are you working hard? Are you practicing? Are you saying, I'm going to become an adult one day, so I'm putting in all my effort into learning what it means to be an adult, responsibility, integrity, all those kind of things, right? Are you practicing to become what you're going to become? How about, are you going to become a great athlete? Let's connect it that way. I'm going to be a great athlete in college. Maybe I'll be a pro athlete that way. Do you have to practice to become that, or do you just show up? You have to work hard at it, right, for what you're going to become, right? How about you young people? Are you going to be married one day? Are you going to be a husband or wife? Come on, you guys, help me. A bunch of you here, are you going to be a husband? We got a no over here. So he's not going to practice. But if you're going to become a husband or wife and a godly one, you got to practice, right? I'm going to become, that's what God wants to do in my life. I'm going to become a husband and wife. I got to practice. I got to learn. I got to study. I got to see how that is. God's word is going to teach me. I'm going to become these things, so I'm going to work on them. How about a parent? Are you going to become a parent one day? Come on, you guys, help me. You going to become a parent? Are you learning right now what it looks like to be a parent? Are you practicing what you're going to become? How about the rest of us? Become an employer, an employee, or them also. Are you going to be a good friend or loving neighbor? Or a good church family member? Are you going to become these things? Are you going to become a great grandparent? Are you going to just be a godly influence to your grandchildren? I'm going to become that. Do you have to prepare yourself? Do you have to work on what you're going to become? Come on, you guys. So you're going to be Christ-like completely. Do you think God says, hey, why don't you work on what you're going to become? That's how it impacts our lives. That's the truth of God's word. When you don't seek to become what God's going to make you, what are you telling God? Did he save you, rescue you, forgive you by his grace? He did all of this. He predestined us to be there. So when we want to think about this in our mind, when we want this to come upon us, it's like, okay, God says this is true. Do you believe eternal glory is true? Do you guys believe it? You're going to become that, right? All that God has there. Do you think he wants us preparing to what we're going to become? Or does he want us to just live our own way here and then right at the middle, right at the end, zap, we're what we're going to be? This is a love issue. He loved you. See how great the Father's love bestowed upon you. He loved you, saved you, brought you new life, new nature. Holy Spirit dwells in you. Now, till what you become, it's a love issue to choose to love God to become where he's headed in your life. That's the word of God. That's the life, the journey of the church. We're on the road of sanctification, which ends up in the place of glorification, which is eternal glory. And we're all working our way there. Praise be to God what he's doing in our life, right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning and for just the encouragement of your word. And it is true, Lord, there's a reality in each one of our lives that we groan in anticipation for what awaits. And we groan in anticipation to get out of this battle, to not sin against you. Maybe we're not as sensitive to that as you may bring us to be. But no one with new life in Christ desires to sin against you. But maybe we need to be a little more sensitive to that it is against you, and recognize how great the love of the Father has bestowed upon us that we are called the children of God. This is your doing by the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. And the end game for it, Lord, is eternal glory, inheritance, fellow heirs with Christ. You're going to conform us to your Son's image. It's a fact, even though we only see it in our mind's eye and in our soul's heart. So help us, Lord, to live just one more step toward you today. Just to be growing in our relationship with you and with each other, always for your glory, not ours. For ours awaits. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're dismissed for today.